Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
H.G. Wells wrote a book called War of the Worlds. He also wrote a book entitled The Fate of Man. In that book, he made this statement: who but crazy people and lunatics would read the book of Revelation? Would you open your Bibles to the book of Revelation? The book of Revelation is a prophecy of God. The book of Revelation tells us that this world is coming to an end, that Jesus is going to come back, and that God is in control. What God has to say in his book and his prophecies are going to come true. God gives us the free will to choose to follow him and to be a part of a glorious celebration whenever that time comes. Or you can choose to not believe it and suffer the consequences of that and get in on what everyone is going to be left behind here to experience. In the book of Revelation, in the first chapter, John, the Apostle John, not John the Baptist, but the Apostle John, is in exile on an island called Patmos. And thanks to you, Dana and I had the privilege of going on a cruise that included a stop at Patmos. And we got to go up on this mountainside to the place that they believe was the cave where John was held in exile for a number of years. And I still remember just the hair on the back of my neck sticking straight out whenever I stood there and I looked out over the ocean, the Mediterranean Sea there, and just thought, oh my goodness, what it must have been like for the Lord Jesus to appear to John there on that morning whenever he appeared to him. And the Bible tells us that Jesus appeared to him and he held up in his hand seven stars and seven gold lampstands. And he tells us that the seven stars were the seven angels to the seven churches in Asia Minor. Now, Asia Minor is what you and I know as Turkey, modern day Turkey. And he said that the angels were the seven stars were the angels or messengers or pastors to the seven churches that were there in Asia Minor. Now, you didn't know pastors were called angels, did you? You need to practice. But and the seven lampstands were the seven churches that had been planted by Paul and others. And you see the list behind me here on the screen of those seven churches. Those churches are representative of churches in any period of time in history. You can find churches that are similar to those seven churches at any period of time. There is also the belief that those seven churches represent seven periods of time, and that we are now in that last period of time, the church, the time of the lukewarm church of Laodicea. Now, the exact times don't necessarily overlap and match the things that have happened in history, but it does give us a great reminder that things are coming to an end. I believe, and I am praying, that we are in the end times. I am praying that we are in the last days. I am praying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But for my information and for yours, it may be another 1,000 years before Jesus comes. But I share with you that what's in the Word of God and these letters, this mail, if you please, to the 7 churches that were in what's modern day Turkey, that their word then is applicable to us today as well. And so I invite you to look at the first church that is mentioned here in Scripture in this prophecy. In Revelation chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, to the angel, messenger of the church of Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." For the next 7 weeks, we are going to look at these 7 churches. So the last Sunday of November, we will study the church in Laodicea, the lukewarm church. But today, we study the book, the church of Ephesus. Ephesus was a magnificent city. It was kind of a crown jewel of the Roman Empire. It was there that they had started the belief and following of one of the Roman goddesses, Artemis. And so the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, came to Ephesus, and the seed was planted, and it grew into one of the most thriving churches that was known in New Testament time. And so the church of Ephesus had a great reputation. But I want to tell you, friends, it's not reputation that Jesus is looking for. It is a relationship with Him that He is wanting with every one of us. In spite of how wonderful the church at Ephesus was, in many ways, there was something that was truly missing in the church there. And here's what the Bible says about the church there. It says that there are things that I am proud of you about, and there are things that you have done. And you absolutely take a stand when it comes to the truth. And the Bible says that you will not put up with liars. Now, as I mentioned, it was a city that started the worship of the goddess Artemis. And there were many immoral things that people were encouraged to partake of and participate in. And the people there quite often would see how Christianity was flourishing, and they would want to get in on it for their own gain. And so the people at Ephesus were quick to recognize when people were playing that game for their own good. You know, it's easy for that to happen today. That happens in churches, that happens in society. That happens many times whenever people want to, they think it'll help them get ahead. They'll connect themselves with some sort of Christian belief if it's to their gain. And so the people in Ephesus were on close guard on that. And he says to them, you didn't waver on the doctrine, and you didn't grow weary in taking a stand for the gospel. But there's something else that you missed. And he goes on to tell them how they left their first love. He goes on down through here and he talks about the Nicolaitans. And we're going to look at the Nicolaitans and what they believed and what they were doing a little more whenever we look at the church of Pergamos, which is a couple of weeks from now, because the church at Pergamos dealt with that same group of people and believers. But let's just say this morning about it. There are things that you and I should hate. Oh, Brother Danny, that's a strong four-letter word. That's right. There are things and deeds, things that happen that you and I are to absolutely have no use for as Christians. Notice here that it says, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Notice, it did not say that I hate the Nicolaitans. If God hates the Nicolaitans, then God would hate me for the sin that's in my life. God hates the sin that was in my life that caused him to have to go to the cross of Calvary, just like he hated the sin that's in your life. But the Bible also says that God so loved us that he gave his son. And so there are things that we are to hate. Yes, it really is true that we are to hate the sin and love the sinner. But we'll look at that a little more in depth as we go on in a couple of weeks on that. And then I want you to notice the last thing here that about the church at Ephesus. And for every church, all seven churches, the scriptures say, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And to him who overcomes, that's said to all the churches. In this one it says, to him who overcomes, to the church at Ephesus, I will give to eat. Now notice here, the Bible says that for those who are determined to persevere, that there is a special invitation that is going to arrive in your mailbox, a special significant time that you will be invited to participate in, a personal time of fellowship with none other than Jesus himself. Now, everybody wants to go to heaven, right? Is there anybody in here that doesn't want to go to heaven? I don't mean right now. We're not getting up a load to go right now. But you want to go. You want. Let me just see the hands. How many of you want to go to heaven one day? Yeah, okay. All right, good, good. I think that's everybody but three. But anyway. But you know what? When you get a special invitation to do something, that makes it even more special, doesn't it? And what if Jesus said to you, or what, let's just play like for a moment. Did you ever play like when you were growing up? Some of us still doing it, but anyway. Let's just play like you just got to heaven and St. Peter walks up to you, hands you an envelope, and you open it up, and you have another invitation to go sit down and have a meal with Jesus. Now, when we're talking about overcoming here, those that overcome, we're not talking about that you can lose your salvation or that you have to do the keeping. There is no question about it. The Bible teaches us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast about it. So there is no one that can save himself or herself. But the Word of God teaches us that there are those who do persevere. Now listen, Scripture guarantees that God will take care of you and he is going to preserve you. Okay? He is going to preserve your salvation. But nowhere in Scripture does it say that God is going to, though he grants you preservation, he does not grant you perseverance. For you and me to stay faithful to God's word and faithful and loyal to Christ, that's on you and me. For our witness to stay faithful. So that whenever God calls us home, he didn't have to call us home because we were missing, but rather when he called us home is because it really was time for us to be with him. Oh, friends, there are things that we really don't understand about the relationship that God has with his people. But one of these days, all those things are going to be made clear. And it may be that some of the things I've just said don't make real good sense to you, but I want to tell you there's a teacher that can explain it to you. And you want to be there because the Bible teaches us, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat. There will be personal fellowship. And it says that we're going to eat from the tree of life. It's going to be a permanent thing. Permanent. Tree of life mentioned in Scripture about 11 times. It's mentioned first in the book of Genesis where it talks about in the garden, there was the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and... Y'all pronounce that word a little too well. I mean, you don't need to be that familiar with that. But anyway, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Bible says that God, after Adam and Eve sinned, that he took them out of the garden and guarded the tree of life, lest they, what? Live forever. Forever. So the tree of life here is a symbol, and it's mentioned in Revelation chapter 22 as well. Excuse me. And the tree of life is that which is going to give life. And in other words, that relationship and that fellowship with Jesus is going to be permanent. And where is it going to be? What's the location? The Bible says that it's going to be in the midst of the paradise of God. The paradise of God. When the Bible talks about that, that paradise of God, it is that garden. It means that place of absolute completeness where no sin can get in. You know what? I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that. And God wanted and Christ wanted the church at Ephesus to be a part of that. I want you to notice these three things about what he had to say to the church at Ephesus. He says to them, return to your first love. Repent of your fallen lives, or I will remove your lampstand. In other words, there won't be a church there anymore. Return to your first love. Repent of your fallen lives, or I will remove your lampstand. Your first love. Your first love. Have you ever fallen in love? You remember how you felt? Have you ever felt somebody really loved you? You remember how that made you feel? Remember after a time things began to wear down? And things just became, it's just what you did. Are you here today because you love Jesus? Will you leave church today loving Jesus more than you loved him whenever you came? Is the love that you have for him what it should be? Does he feel loved by you? If we were to ask Jesus, Jesus, do you know that I love you? What would his response be? Well, I hope so. Or I know so. Return to your first love. There are so many people that just come to church because that's just what they do on Sundays. Now, maybe some of you are here today and you're trying to get back to doing that. You're trying to get back to, you know, get back in the, say it, habit. Oh, I hate that word. Church, if church is a habit, then it's a habit you'll break. If church is part of your life, part of your heart, then it's something totally different. I'm telling you, sometimes we think we are so good because of how often we're in church. There are some people who have been in church today, in this room today, in the service before you, and in this room now, that you are so proud of your perfect attendance. Well, let me first of all just commend you for your perfect attendance. You've heard me say numerous times, just show up and watch God show out. You've heard me say numerous times, never underestimate the ministry of attendance. So don't think I'm putting attendance down, that I'm saying that, okay, it is okay for me to miss. No, most of you miss enough anyway. But anyway. But you remember, how many of you remember way back there, you know, right after they discovered fire? And we really put a great emphasis on perfect Sunday school attendance. Y'all remember that? Anybody in here remember that? I mean, we gave out little badges that we wore every Sunday. And I mean, some people had them go way on down. I'm telling you, whenever I was growing up, it was demanded that you had perfect Sunday school attendance. I mean, I don't care if you had the whooping cough. You were going to Sunday school. I mean, we had to sit you over in the corner with a mask on your face, you know, and you're not allowed to talk. I mean, we're not going to break that perfect attendance in Sunday school. There are people in this room that absolutely can quote so many scriptures that it would just wow you. And there are people that are going, they would take a stand if myself or anyone else stood behind this pulpit and preached something that was unsound biblically, that went against the Word of God, you would be right up here maybe before the sermon was over. And you would be in somebody's face, or you'd be walking out. If that was going to be tolerated, you weren't going to be a part of it. The church at Ephesus was a church that said, we can spot a liar because we know the Word of God. They were sound doctrinally. Their attendance in worship and Bible study, we'd have just been amazed at. But there was something that they did that wiped out all of that. They left their first love. And he said, what you need to do is you need to repent of your fallen lives. Or I will remove your lampstand. Let's go back one, Daniel. I wasn't quite ready. There you go. I'll remove your lampstand. You think there will always be a church here on Old River? There won't be unless you're determined to follow the Word of God. Oh, Brother Dean, look how much land church owns, and look how many buildings they have, and look how nice facilities are. I don't care. If we leave our love for Christ behind, He doesn't have any reason to leave us here. The Bible says that God said to the church at Ephesus, I will remove your lampstand. And guess what? The Muslims came in and overran Turkey. And now you can only find about one church in all of Turkey. And there's none in Ephesus. And there's none in those other six churches where there were churches, or towns where there were churches. It can happen. Don't think that it can't. Three questions. Okay, let's move forward. First question, how much of God's word do I have? How much of God's word have I? The church at Ephesus had as many as 8 of the New Testament books. Now you're thinking, well, why didn't they have it all? Well, they didn't have it all then. They didn't have it compiled and as available as you and I have it. But they had, in some cases, the originals. The men that God used to write it, sent it to them. The church at Ephesus had the Word of God in parchment original form. Or they had copies that were just fresh off the press of the original. And here they had all of that, all that advantage. What did they do with it? What are we doing with it? What are we doing with God's word here? What are we doing as far as living it out and living it up as a believer in Christ and the joy that we need to have in Christ? How much of God's word have I? Notice the next one. Have I lost that loving feeling? Now, I don't know how many of you in here remember the Righteous Brothers. They weren't righteous, by the way. They were a rock and roll group back from my era. And they recorded a song, "You've Lost That Loving Feeling." I'm not about to sing it to you, but anyway, they recorded it. But I want to tell you something. When a church loses that loving feeling for Christ, they have stopped having a relationship with Christ, and what they do has become just a religion of rituals. Are you here this morning because you love Jesus? You love Jesus because He first loved you, and you want Him to know that you love Him, and you want others to see it on your face, and people come up to you because they know that you love Jesus and He is going to come first in your life. What if your spouse came home one day and said to you, "I don't think I love you anymore"? Now, I'm going to stay, not leaving. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep taking care of the house. I'm going to keep washing the clothes. I'm going to keep doing the yard. I'm going to keep whatever the spouse does in your family. And we'll still sleep in the same room. We'll still eat at the same table. We'll still take vacations together. I'll still be a parent to our children, but I don't love you anymore. I've just lost that loving feeling. Now, the church is the bride of Christ. And the Bible describes Christ as the groom. And I wonder what Christ thinks about His church here on Old River. We stand firm on the Word of God. When it comes to the truth of God's word, we stand firm on it as best we can. We're not always perfect, but we stand firm on it. And we believe in helping people. We believe in being here when the door's open. We're a lot like the church at Ephesus. But friends, the Bible says that we're to speak the truth in love. And if we have lost that loving feeling for Christ, then the light will go out. And I don't want to leave here that way. I don't want to leave here that way. I want to leave here loving on Jesus. Have I lost that loving feeling? Then look at the last one.
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, a ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.